I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
Denton previewing the college football weekend. Week three, not as exciting really on paper going in as week two was. And week two ended up being much more exciting, Denton, because of the, you know, stunner in South Bend. But take us through the day, and you may want to start with a team tonight that I know you enjoy watching, and I kind of like a little bit too, in terms of the matchup tonight.
Yeah, tonight might have the best game of the weekend, at least on paper. You got Arizona on the road against Kansas State, now a Big 12 matchup, now that Arizona has joined the Big 12 Conference. They're a team with their quarterback, Noah Fifita. They were a big surprise last year, Kevin, as you know, when they have the ability to score a lot of offense. Their first game of the season was an absolute track meet against New Mexico in week one. It slowed down a little bit last week against Northern Arizona, but they could be a really fun team to watch. And then they're taking on Kansas State, who they have aspirations, legitimate aspirations, of being not just a playoff team, but the potential Big 12 champ, right? I mean, you're looking at teams like Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. Those were the three favorites to win the Big 12. This is a game with a lot of meaning. We don't often see games with a lot of conference championship or conference impacts this early into September, but this is one of those games. So this one could be exciting. Right now, Kansas is a 7-point favorite, I'm seeing it at, with the over under the total number at 60.5. This could be an absolute, really a headbanger between two teams that are really good. Kansas State just narrowly escaped Tulane last week. That one was almost another big upset, because you got to remember, like, there was three upsets last week. You had obviously the Northern Illinois Notre Dame game that everybody was over the moon about. You had Syracuse and Kyle McCord, who looks really good this year, taking down Georgia Tech. And it was almost Kansas State losing to Tulane last year that joined that. So they're looking for a bounce back game. This one is one that I'm really looking forward to tonight.
So I just want to start with this. I think Kansas State's been one of those really interesting, actually just college programs in general, basketball and football, much more so football-wise. And I say that because they've really been a solid program, a winning program for a long time. They had Bill Snyder there, who was one of the best college football coaches for a long period of time. You know, he was there for, you know, 90s, 2000s, then left, came back for another stint, you know, was a coach of the year multiple times, had that team always competitive. And Chris Klieman's done a really good job, too. It's always been like one of those programs that, for me, because I'm a Maryland guy, I've always looked at a program like K-State and I've said, when Maryland was good with like Ralph Regan, Bobby Ross, they were kind of K-State. You know, they weren't Clemson, they weren't Florida State in their own league, but they were always good, and they were better than most everybody else, and they were always involved in some games where they were close to getting over the hump, right? This team is another really good football team. They lost Will Howard, the quarterback that they had last year. He transferred to Ohio State. I like Will Howard at Ohio State so far, Denton. We can get to that later. Avery Johnson's their quarterback. They've got DJ Giddens. You know, they've had some of these really good offensive players, good offensive scheme. They came back on the road last week in a tough environment, actually, in New Orleans against Tulane to win a game. I like them tonight in this game. I'll let you know shortly whether or not it's going to be a smell test pick. But there's always been this intrigue about K-State. You know, they play in Manhattan, Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple. Their fan base is phenomenal. You know, it's an underrated fan base for both football and basketball. They're the second biggest deal in their own state to everything that Kansas does. I don't know. You're a college football guy. What do you, when somebody says K-State football, what do you think?
The last couple of years, I think of a team that's right on the cusp of jumping
into that
conversation of real relevance in the sport. They're one of the teams like a Penn State and like an Ole Miss, although at a smaller scale because Penn State's obviously been, at least in this area, one of the bigger juggernauts for years, going back to the Paterno days. Then Ole Miss has had a history of being in the SEC. But Kansas State's in that conversation, too, of teams that really benefit from the expanded college football playoff, because they've been knocking on the door a couple of times, and they've just never been able to punch it through because you only get four teams. Well, now that there's an expanded playoff, like, there's a spot for them should they, you know, play the entire season as well as they have in some of the past couple of years. I love their offense.
But I'm referring more to the brand. Like, Penn State's a massive elite blue blood brand.
Right.
Ole Miss actually is a brand. K-State is, it's always been a very much under the radar program for sports fans, even college football fans, and yet they keep producing in a state, by the way, where it's not easy to recruit to. You know, just like Nebraska's had issues with recruiting, K-State's had issues, you know, somehow they've been able to get players. They've always found coaches that were able to coach up lesser talent against some of the big boys. I like them tonight. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm with you. It's one of the, it may be the best head-to-head matchup of the weekend. All right, what else you got?
So the big game on Saturday, at least the big window game, is Alabama going on the road to Wisconsin. Now, when this was scheduled, you know, years and years ago, the expectation was that Wisconsin was going to be a highly ranked team out of the Big Ten. They're not that, but they're still a good team in the Big Ten. They're 2-0. Alabama's the fourth-ranked team in the country. It'll be game number three for the Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer tag team, if you will. Alabama's getting they're a big favorite on the road against Wisconsin. I was actually surprised, Kevin, that this is not where College Game Day is going to be. I do think that Big Fox's kickoff show is going to be there. I don't know if there's like a legality thing, because Game Day was at, you know, the Michigan-Texas game last week, which was a Big Fox game. I don't know if they don't like going to Fox games multiple weeks in a row or something along those lines, but it's not going to be game day.
They're at South Carolina, right?
Yeah, they're at LSU South Carolina, which that should be a fun game as well, but I certainly think Alabama-Wisconsin is a bigger matchup just based on the brand that Wisconsin has been over the past couple of years. But this is going to be a true test for Bama going up against a pretty good defense in Wisconsin to see what Jalen Milroe is going to look like. You know, we saw him as the year progressed last year get more comfortable, get better. The first week's kind of whatever. They played a nobody. Last week against USF, I don't know if this is like Jalen Milroe's weird kryptonite or something, but that was more of a game than it should have been for the first couple of quarters before the Alabama offense started to pull away.
Well, no, it was a game, period, until, I mean, Alabama scored three touchdowns in 3 minutes at the very end of the game, and by the way, got close to covering, which was painful. I watched the whole thing. But that game was 21-16 with 6 minutes to go in the game. I mean, I did not think Jalen Milroe looked comfortable at all throwing the football. And it, you know, it's a new system. It's Kalen DeBoer. We trust Kalen DeBoer to figure it out. But USF was not the other thing too. Real quickly, USF ran the football against Alabama.
Yeah.
Not just with the quarterback. What's his name? Brown. Their running back. I forget his name. I think he's number five. He ran the ball really well. I mean, this would be the opportunity. I think Luke Fickell will figure it out at Wisconsin. I do. I think he's that good. I don't know if you believe the same thing. He's got our guy that we love, Phil Longo, as the offensive coordinator. He coached Sam Howell, coached Drake May at Carolina for Mac Brown. I think he coached Drake May. But they haven't figured out the quarterback thing yet. So I don't think they can score enough to be in this game. But because Tyler Van Dyke's not the guy, right?
I mean, didn't we
see that at Miami enough?
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, like, I know, you know, Bo Nix is maybe an outlier in this, But like when you're going on year four or five in college and you transfer to a new program, yes. like it's just
Graham Mertz. It's like not. You said it's a few not weeks it. Ago.
Now, if you like
DJU,
the running offense for Wisconsin, I mean, Ches Malusi is a back. They got a really good back in Ches Malusi. So if Alabama had issues defending the run last week, that might be something to keep an eye on. Like, this number is massive. I think I would lean Alabama to cover the 16, but, you know, on the road at Wisconsin, like, that's a big
number. The number's massive because they don't think Wisconsin can score.
Right.
And if last week was an indication, ultimately USF only scored 16 points, but they were able to move the football, and they were able to run the football against an Alabama team in Tuscaloosa. The crowd in Madison is going to be sick. It's a 12 noon kick, so there you are at 12 noon. But the other 12 noon game is where you said game day was, and this is interesting because South Carolina was supposed to not be very good this year, right?
Yeah, they had mild expectations at best, and they're 2-0. They had a big win last week
against Kentucky.
Just absolutely obliterated
them.
As a dog. Yeah, and it was after they nearly lost to Old Dominion,
right,
which was stunning. But they got a quarterback in Lenore Sellers, who I'm a big proponent of. It has literally nothing to do with his game. It's just because he wears rec specs, and as somebody that wore rec specs, I support my rec specs brother. So I like South Carolina's quarterback. I don't think they can hang with LSU. I think LSU has a lot of offense. You know, when Nussmeier's playing well, there's a lot of offense there with LSU, but it should be a fun SEC battle.
LSU's a sizable favorite on the road against a very good defensive team. And Nuss, we talked about this in that first matchup between SC and LSU, the two quarterbacks replacing the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier. And Nussmeier and Moss were outstanding in that first game. Moss was really good again last week. And Nussmeier, I think, threw five touchdown passes. Maybe more than that. I know it was against Nichols State or whatever. South Carolina, God, I'm just not a big Beamer guy.
They don't have offense. You know, they don't have offense, and they played a team in Kentucky that has even less. Like, Kentucky last week was 6 of 17 passing. That's abysmal. I mean, there is so small of a list of what I would consider to be a good quarterback in college football this year, to the point where it's almost embarrassing. Wisconsin doesn't have one. Kentucky has Brock Vandergriff, who was supposed to be a big guy at Georgia a couple years ago, lost that job to Carson Beck, and Gavin Wimsatt, who's on like his third or fourth school. Like, there's so many guys across college football that are they're doing the transfer thing and they're jumping from place to place and not finding success anywhere. It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I think we saw last week, we saw the guy that is going to be right there as the best quarterback in the country, the Heisman Trophy, perhaps the Heisman Trophy winner, and ultimately maybe the first QB taken in the draft next year, and that's Quinn Ewers.
Yeah,
I think his back-to-back years of performances on the road in Tuscaloosa last year and last week in the Big House is better than anything we've seen from Shedeur Sanders, from Carson Beck, definitely from Gabriel, whether it was last year or so far this year. I mean, that's what I would, with respect to quarterback, that's what I would say. By the way, just tell me real quickly, did Cam Rising get hurt again last week?
I think he did, but I think it was minor. I don't think it was anything major. Okay. The expectation, at least that I have, is that he's playing this week against Utah State. Real quickly, there's two other games that I just want to touch on.
Yes, please.
My favorite Saturday game is Boston College at Missouri.
Love it.
Boston College, really, really good. Missouri has the best wide receiver in college football. It's Luther Burden III. He is awesome. I hope that Brady Cook can get him the football more this week because they have not had a ton of luck passing the ball, but that's going to be a really fun one. I'm actually kind of stunned that Missouri is they're laying the number that they are.
15.5, 16.
15, that's a pretty big number against a team in Boston College. Like, they don't have a ton of offense, but we know how Bill O'Brien works as a college football coach. That's a big number that Missouri's laying.
It very likely will be in the smell test coming up in about 10 minutes. But I have a problem with this game because I have always liked Bill O'Brien. I think he has always gotten more out of less wherever he's coached. BC, there's always a toughness to his teams. They beat Florida State. Now, what does that look like now? It doesn't look great. I mean, they had lost to Georgia Tech already, and then Georgia Tech lost last week at Syracuse. They crushed, Duquesne in week two. And now they go to Missouri. Missouri has not been scored on in their first 2 weeks. Now, it's Murray State and Buffalo. I think Buffalo out of the MAC was their week two opponent. But they haven't been scored on. It's like 50-0 and 35-0, I think, in the first two games. And now they get BC in Columbia. And Missouri's got big aspirations this year.
Yeah.
They have huge aspirations. And they don't have to play Georgia. There are a couple of missing pieces. I think they play Bama this year, and that's it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Denton. I think that's it in terms of the SEC slate.
They have Oklahoma right after. So they got Bama, Oklahoma.
Okay, well, is Oklahoma any good?
They're currently ranked 15th.
They barely beat Houston last week.
They don't have a lot of offense. Yeah, Jackson Arnold will get there, I think. He's a young quarterback, but as of right now, they don't have a lot of offense.
No Georgia, no Ole Miss, no LSU. I just pulled up their schedule. They have a game at Bama in late October. And this is an excellent defensive team. By the way, an excellent defensive team last year, which is why when we looked at last year's games with Jaden Daniels, we're like, I mean, he went to Missouri. And they were down in that game. And he actually got banged up in that game. And he still ended up accounting for like 400 yards of offense. And they came back and won that game. I think it was 49-39 at Missouri. But I think that line tells you that, Bill O'Brien's going to do a good job at BC. But there's a mismatch talent-wise on Saturday, potentially. We'll see. What else?
This is my favorite play of the weekend. I'm done betting spreads with Oregon. After last week, I'm not going to do it anymore.
It's too early.
They got us last year too with the Washington thing. Like I've lost so much.
We get Civil War, right?
We get Civil War. It's Oregon, yeah. Oregon State. My favorite play is the over 49.5 because Oregon has a lot of offense. They just haven't been able to stop anybody this year. And last week was a really good example. Now Boise State's a good team. They have a guy at running back in Gentee that is going to, at least for the first half of the season, be in the early Heisman conversation. We'll see how the season progresses, what that looks like. But Boise had a good amount of offense. They had some success against Oregon. I think Oregon State could have the same. Now Oregon's going to win this one, but that total right now is sitting at 49.5. That's my favorite play, over that total, because Oregon's going to score a lot, but I think Oregon State will have some success in this one.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Oregon and Oregon State are going to continue their series.
Yeah.
The Civil War, but the Apple Cup, Washington State, is continuing as well, right?
I believe, at least for the next couple of years, that is the case. Yeah.
I mean, those are big games. Like, if with all of this stuff going on with the conference reshuffling, it's very important for these programs that have moved to these big leagues and have these expanded, conference schedules to keep that rivalry game. You cannot break that tradition. Oregon and Oregon State seem to be continuing it. Washington and Washington State are continuing.
And they're playing it this week, by the way.
Say that again?
The Apple Cup is this week. As well.
Right. It is. When Penn State moved to the Big Ten, things, some of their big rivalries like Pitt, that thing fell apart. West Virginia fell apart. I don't want to say Maryland, although Penn State and Maryland played every year forever. And when they moved to the Big Ten, that stopped. But I think those things are so important. Now, I'm not going to put Maryland and Virginia into that category of, like, this is a rivalry that's got to continue. Maryland doesn't have rivals in football, and they didn't even when they were in the ACC, with the exception, as I said when we were talking about the Maryland-Virginia basketball series continuing, with the exception of West Virginia, which was really Maryland's big football rival. But Maryland plays Virginia tomorrow night down in Charlottesville. They played last year. It was a Friday night game in College Park, and Maryland was a big favorite. UVA jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then Maryland came back and won the game 42-14. It's weird because the look-ahead line for this game before Maryland lost to Michigan State and Virginia came back to beat Wake Forest. They were down 13. They won a game 31-30 at the very end last week. Maryland was going to be a 9-point favorite in Charlottesville before Maryland lost to Michigan State and Virginia came back to beat Wake Forest. Maryland going into this game now is a 2.5-point favorite. That's crazy. The reason, I think, is twofold. One, Maryland kind of soiled themselves again. You know, I love Maryland football. It means the world to me. That last week was a painful loss because I think on paper they were actually better than Michigan State. And they've had a couple of those losses in recent years, Illinois last year, Northwestern last year. We've gotten used to that. But one of the things that was exposed a little bit was Maryland's pass defense. They gave up against this guy, Childs, who had done nothing in their opener against Florida Atlantic. The dude threw for 380 and three touchdowns, including a 77-yarder in the fourth quarter to tie the game at 24-24. Well, they're going against a Virginia offense led by this guy, Calandria, who can really rack up some passing yards. Seems to be, you know, their strength against Maryland's weakness. Although I love Maryland's safety, Glendon Miller. I actually like Maryland's safeties in general. Trader Jr. and Miller are excellent safeties, but they struggled last week. The other thing is just this idea of kind of on the road following a very disappointing loss. And, you know, did Maryland kind of have a big deflation moment last week when it looked like their season could start with several wins in a row leading up to, you know, their second Big Ten game, which would have been like Indiana or Rutgers, I forget, before USC came to town. This is going to be a tough one. If Maryland can go down there and win this game, season kind of back on. But this would be a really tough loss and would derail in a big way Maryland's season here early from what it should have been. That line's short. A lot of people playing Maryland in this game. Go Terps. Let's get Roman Hemby going. Let's get Nolan Ray going. You couldn't run the football last week against Michigan State. It would be nice to run the football and make it a little bit easier on Billy Edwards Jr., who should be able to attack the UVA pass defense, which is giving up like 280 a game, something like that. All right, my smell test next.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you smell it? It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right. This is the ultimate happiness hedge weekend for me because the two teams that I root for the hardest and the most, Maryland and Washington, I'm going to have their opponents in the smell test, which means if they win the game, you know, outright and even cover in Maryland's case, I'll be happy even if I lose my bet. And if Washington wins the game, I'll be happy even though I'll lose my bet. But the hedge is if they don't, then I'll also be happy because I will have won my wager. That's how the happiness hedge works. Let's start with tomorrow. First of all, I had a loser last night in Texas State. That was a pick'em game. You know, what sucks about that, they lost by 3. The game actually opened at 3, but it came down with super sharp money to pick. Actually, Texas State went off as a 1-point favorite, Denton. I don't know if you saw that. They bungled their way in the second half. They had a lead at one point. It was 21-21 halftime. Whatever. Lost that one. But, you know, we continue to hit 16 against a 10 because there's a system here, and it's basic contrarian handicapping strategy. So that makes me 10-11 on the year. After last night, I was 8-7 last week overall. I know that I didn't win the Texas-Michigan game. I had Michigan. I talked it up like this is, you know, a prototypical, you know, smell test selection. But again, let me emphasize, as I do each week, don't weight your games. You know, the people that, oh, this is my 5-star, so I'm going to put this much on this one. This is my 4-star game, I'll put a little less. No, same amount on every game, straight bet. That way, if you do hit at 53, 54, 55% for the year, you win money as long as you are paying the proper VIGs, the proper, you know, fees, you know, no more than minus 110 on a straight bet. Unless you buy a half point, then you got to pay a little bit more. And sometimes it's 100% worthwhile to do that. So let's start with tomorrow. We already talked about this in Denton's College Preview, a game I'm looking forward to watching as well. Missouri, as they say throughout the state, unless you live in St. Louis. People that live in St. Louis say they live in Missouri. The rest of the state, especially when you get into like the Ozarks, we live in Missouri. Missouri is a 15.5-point favorite against a BC team that's 2-0 and has looked very impressive. The public really likes the underdog. I like the job Bill O'Brien is done. I think he's going to do a very good job at BC. I think BC will end up becoming a pretty good program under O'Brien. This line's high for a reason. There must be a mismatch in talent. I hate playing big favorites in the smell test, but I've got one here with Missouri minus the 15.5. Texas, with their very impressive win at Michigan. You know, this is a recent impressions business, sports betting is, when it comes to looking for the contrarian plays. When you get a team like Texas that goes into the Big House and blows out Michigan in their own building, well, then every public bettor, no matter who they're playing the following week and no matter what the point spread is, they're going to bet that team. And they are. Right now, Texas is one of the biggest plays public-wise on the board. They're playing UTSA, a team that lost last week to Texas State, the team I had last night, 49-10. The number is 35. I did find some 35s out there. Some of you will say, no, it's not. It's 35.5. And that's a big number, that half point at 35. You know, all of the touchdown numbers, the 7 numbers, those are big half points either way. I'm playing this at plus 35. I don't have to buy the half point. There's some 35s out there. UTSA plus the points. Maryland is one of the biggest public plays of the weekend as well. They view Maryland at -2.5, -3 as too short against UVA. UVA won 3 games last year with Tony Elliott, 3 games the year before. They're off to a 2-0 start. They beat Richmond and Wake Forest, and they had to come from behind last week to beat Wake. Maryland, it's not like the recent impression was a good one, but this line was going to be 9 2 weeks ago. 2.5 now. Sharp money on Maryland, public on UVA, public money on Maryland. Happiness hedge play. I'll buy the half point and take UVA plus the 3. Let's go to Sunday, and we look at that 1 o'clock window. And there are some really interesting games in the 1 o'clock window, Denton. Believe it or not, and this is going to be painful because I don't believe in this team offensively at all. I don't believe in the quarterback at all right now because they don't seem to have confidence in the quarterback, and the quarterback's dealing with yet another lawsuit. But Cleveland right now looks to be the biggest anti-public play of the day. They're getting 3 at Jacksonville, who had a 14-0 lead at Miami last week and lost. Cleveland plus 3 is the first play of the day. Now let's go to Minnesota, who opened up with that impressive win over the Giants, but it was the Giants. The 49ers looked awesome on Monday night. They probably looked better than anybody else did in week 1. The 49ers are laying 5 at US Bank against Minnesota, and the public's lined up on the 49ers. I'll take the Vikings plus the 5. A little bit of a revenge factor there, too, if you recall the Monday night game last year, which was a great Monday night game. Minnesota beat the 49ers in a physical, you know, excellent football game. And the public loves backing the 49ers, laying less than a touchdown at any point. By the way, this line at one point was 6.5. It's down to 5. Give me Minnesota plus the 5. Staying in the 1 o'clock window, I've been talking about it all week. The Giants plus the 1.5 against Washington. It's self-explanatory here. We've been talking about it all week. Public loves Washington. I know they looked terrible last week, but it's really the Daniel Jones situation and the narrative that the Giants are horrible and that he is horrible. And this line opened to 2.5. It's down to 1.5. It's been as low as 1. I'll take the Giants plus the 1.5. I know that some of you thought for sure that I would take Carolina plus the points at home against the Chargers. Do I like Carolina? I do. Will I play them myself? Probably. Why? Public's lined up on the Chargers, but the sharp money has been switching on this game. I'm staying off this game. Thank you, my buddy Carl H., who always seems to, via Twitter, give me exactly what my smell test picks are going to be for the week. And he had me at the top of the board having Carolina. No, I don't have Carolina. The Raiders are getting 9.5 against the Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore is one of the biggest public plays of the weekend. I'll take the Raiders plus the 9.5. And I'll also, in a weird kind of a way, and I don't get it, the Cardinals are 1-point favorites at home over the Rams. I'll take the Cardinals laying the point. I don't think most people believe in the Cardinals, and a lot of people believe in the Rams. The Bengals are a play as well, plus the 6 at Arrowhead. Chicago's a play, plus 6 at Houston on Sunday night. And I'm pretty sure Monday Night Football will be Atlanta as well, plus the points. Philly is a heavily bet public side, but we'll check in on Monday for that one. But I think I'll end up adding Atlanta to the smell test. All right, college, Missouri minus 15.5, Virginia plus 3 buying the half point, UTSA plus 35. On Sunday, Cleveland plus 3, Minnesota plus 5, the Giants plus 1.5, the Raiders plus 9.5, Arizona minus 1, Cincinnati plus 6, the Bears plus 6. Those are your plays. Yeah, it's a lot more NFL this week than college. I think most of you like that outcome because most of you think I've done much better over the years on NFL games. Slightly better on NFL games than college. Not much better. And again, Monday night, I think I'll have the Falcons. It looks like the Eagles are an overwhelming public favorite, but we'll check back in on that one on Monday. There it is. Smell test for week 3 of the college season, week 2 of the NFL season. We will go around the NFL in 2 different parts. We'll start with the 1 o'clock window next. We'll go to the late window next hour. Ben Standig will be with us at 12 noon. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball last night, Nats fall to the Marlins 6-3. Mitchell Parker pitched 6 1/3 innings, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits with 5 strikeouts. Dylan Cruz picked up another RBI and a great defensive web jam kind of play for the young rookie. DJ Hertz on the mound tonight for the Nats at Nats Park, 6:45 for the next matchup with the Marlins. In the NFL, Emmanuel Forbes to have surgery on his thumb that will put him on the shelf for at least 4-6 weeks for the Commanders. Thursday Night Football last night, the Bills cruise past the Dolphins 31-10. Tua Tagovailoa left with another concussion. It's his third confirmed concussion and one that he seemed to lose a little bit of consciousness on the field. Scary situation. The Bills now 2-0 on the season. And that's what's trending.
All All right, we're going to do this this year. We're going to go through all of the games and just give a quick hunch, a couple of thoughts on each game, and give a quick hunch with the point spread. This is not Denton's, you know, big pick of the week. By the way, did we do your lock of the week last week? I think we forgot to do it, didn't we?
I think we did. That's okay, though. I did terrible in the NFL last week.
What was your lock of the week?
Well, I don't know that I had one last week, but
yeah,
it might have been the Panthers that I would have given. So I'm glad I did not do that.
Well, that doesn't count. If you didn't give it on the show, it doesn't count. So you'll have a lock of the week towards the end of the show. Let's go 1 o'clock window first, and we start with the Saints, who had, you know, an absolute explosive win at that terrible Carolina team in week one, and the Cowboys dominant defensively in their win over the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, this is an interesting game. You know, I think there are some people, and we had, you know, Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy on the show earlier this week. He said his DVOA metric really liked the Saints before the season started. He picked them to win the NFC South. They go out, they crush the Panthers in week one. They're getting less than a touchdown. The line sitting there at about 6.5. In Dallas, and you get, you know, a Dallas team that was reeling with respect to contracts not being signed, guys not being in, what's the deal with next year, and they go out and they get this feel-good win in week one over the Browns, where their defense was dominant. Dak Prescott signs the big deal a week after CeeDee Lamb signs the big deal, and the Cowboys all of a sudden are off and running. I was a big believer in the Saints last year, Denton, if you recall. Not Derek Carr, but their defense throughout the year. They do have some pretty good defensive players. And I think I mentioned this before. Chase Young had a very good first game with New Orleans. Now, he did not have a sack, but he had multiple quarterback pressures, multiple quarterback hits. And he ended up finishing, I think, in week one, third overall in the league in pass rush win rate, according to Next Gen. You know, they've got guys like Davis and the Honey Badger and, you know, Lattimore and Werner and, you know, McKinstry, you know, out of Bama, Cam Jordan, obviously. They got some defensive players. This is a good game at 1 o'clock. I wish this were a game that we could sit back and watch. I give New Orleans a shot in this game. I like Dallas, but like by a field goal when all is said and done, something like 27-24. What do you think?
This is the biggest question mark game for me, because you always say that week one is a head fake. And
right,
you had two teams that one beat the Carolina Panthers, who are not very good, and the other one beat the Cleveland Browns, who offensively are not very good. So I don't feel like we learned a ton about each respective defense, and I think we'll have a much better idea after this one. Which defense is really good? Maybe both of them are really good. This is a game, though, if Dallas wants to win, Kevin, like Dak has to be, he has to be a little bit better than what he was last week. He didn't really have to do a ton last week because, as we mentioned, that Cleveland team just was kind of inept. I think this will be a game where Dak Prescott gets to kind of show why he was given the contract that he was given. So I like Dallas to win it. I don't know about that 6-point line, but I think Dallas comes away with the victory.
You know, I mentioned to you last on Monday that Zeke Elliott looked, you know, slimmer. And remember the number conversation? He was number 21.
He's 21, but he's 15 in college.
He's 15 at Ohio State.
And 15 in New England.
And New England. Cowboy fans got back to me and said he's 15 pounds lighter. I thought he looked pretty good. But anyway, the other really good game at 1 o'clock is the team Washington played last week in Detroit for a rematch of their divisional round playoff game, Bucks at Lions. Detroit's a 7.5-point favorite. The total in that game is 51.5. Look, it's only 1 week, but for Tampa and Detroit, these are two teams that carried over a lot of what they ended with last year, and they were both playing excellent football at the end of last year. Same coaching staff, same quarterback, same skill position players for the most part, same, you know, everything. I mean, these two teams really came back intact. I mean, Detroit added a couple of pieces. This is a really interesting game. I'm actually surprised that Detroit is a 7.5-point favorite. And it's the half point there that surprises me. I thought it would be 6.5, 7. I didn't think it would go over a touchdown. This is another game that it's too bad it's not in a bigger window that we could watch this game, because Washington and the Giants going at the same time. But I like the Bucs to keep this one close. I think, you know, the week two, the head fake, the difference between week one and week two applies less to these two teams. The Lions had a knockdown, drag out overtime affair Sunday night. I think the Bucs keep this one close. I think it's a great coaching matchup. You know, something like 24-23, another close game that could go either way. I'll give the Bucs a chance and give them a week two upset win at Ford Field.
I'm a little bit different on this one. I'm really thinking the Lions are going to have an impressive performance. You know, Baker Mayfield, last week, Washington did do a really good job of getting to Baker Mayfield, just not bringing him down. That's going to be different this week. I think Aiden Hutchinson's going to have a really big game, but I think it'll be more difficult for Baker to have the success that he had last week against this Detroit Lions defense. I like Detroit to win this one 28-20.
Colts and Packers at Lambeau with Malik Willis. That's all you have to say. Now, that line is short. It's ugly short. I almost gave out Green Bay as a pick. Anthony Richardson, you know, we had Jordan DeJani on the show yesterday. It was one of the all-time air yards performances. He had 9 completions for 212 yards, 2 touchdowns. I still think this guy is raw, super raw as a passer, but my God, he's so physically gifted. Another test for them. Tough spot always at Lambeau, but this game comes down to whether or not Malik Willis is actually even an NFL backup quarterback. I have no idea how this is going to go. Indy's a 2.5, 3-point favorite. The total's 40.5. I see this game 17-16, 17-14, something like that. I'll go Colts 17-16.
This line freaks me out a little bit, but I think I'm looking at this as one of the things where I feel a little more comfortable with just general knowledge here. I love Malik Willis for reasons that we all are aware of, because he went to the same school that I went to. He's not an NFL quarterback. And I think Anthony Richardson, we saw last week against a pretty good defense in Houston, have some success. Now, Green Bay's defense is also pretty good, but I think the Colts win this one 20-16.
Jets, 3.5-point favorites in Nashville against Tennessee. This is an interesting football game. This is a big spot for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, who gave up all of those rush yards to San Francisco on Monday night. But you saw the potential beginnings of a Rodgers to Garrett Wilson connection, which would be really exciting. You know, Brian Callahan, in his first game as Titans head coach, said about their loss to the Bears, in which they held the Bears to 148 yards of total offense. He said, if we just punted it on first and 10 every time, we might have won the game that we gave away. Real quickly, Riggo once had a strategy years ago that he talked about on the show that I did with him. And he essentially said, if you got a great defense and a bad offense, just punt it on first and 10 and see if your defense can create most of the offense. That's the Brian Callahan strategy. I don't think that'll be employed ever. But the Titans with Will Levis, I'm not a big fan of Levis, are struggling. But that means you got to see them put the ball into the hands of, you know, their running backs and see if, you know, a Tony Pollard or a Tyjae Spears can do something on the ground against a Jet defense that struggled. This line's a bit short, worries me a little bit for the Jets, but I'll take the Jets in a very tight game, 21-19.
We're short on time. I like the Jets. I like Aaron Rodgers to connect multiple times in the end zone with Garrett Wilson. So I like him 27-14.
We'll get to the other 1 o'clocks and then the 4 o'clock windows next hour. Ben Standig will join us next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.